Acts 2, verses 36 to 47. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, Brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children, and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. With many others he warned them and pleaded with them, Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved.
Well, good morning and welcome to Spicer Street Online. Well, it has certainly been a long time. By my calculations, this is the 19th Sunday of COVID, and it is only just this Sunday that we feel able to head back, come back into the building, and even then in very limited numbers. For 19 weeks, we have only really been able to relate via the internet, although we hope now slowly but surely we will start to head back towards something approaching normality. And as we come out of lockdown, it does give us a chance to reboot on church life, to think afresh about church life. What sort of community should we be? Are we simply to be a community that meets on a Sunday, has a quick fix of Bible teaching, and then disperses and has nothing to do with each other? As we reboot, what sort of people are we to be? Well, we could not be in a better section of the Bible than Acts 2 to address these fundamental and important questions. So let's pray as we come to God's word now. When the Spirit came in power on the day of Pentecost, you, our great God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, brought together a community of believers. Please now teach us about how we should be a community. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, before we look at the details of this first Christian community, we do need to reflect for a moment on what brought this community together. How did this community come into being? Well, of course, it was through the preaching, through the declaration by Peter of Jesus the Nazarene. The great conclusion to Peter's brilliant sermon on the day of Pentecost is there in verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He has laid before them arguments from the resurrection from the Old Testament and shown them that Jesus Christ is Lord and Messiah. And what has happened? Many of the thousands of that were listening to Peter were cut to the heart when they realized that they had got it badly wrong. There was a huge and deep, profound response in this crowd. They were distressed. And having realized they had been completely wrong about Jesus, they cry out, "What shall we do?" And the answer that Peter gives them is, "Repent and be baptized, each and every one of you." And Peter doesn't stop there. He urges them, he pleads with them to turn to Jesus And those words in verse 40, save yourself from this crooked generations. In other words, you need to change. You need to leave the wrong thinking behind. You are living in a crooked generation full of wrong thinking about Jesus, about God. There's lots of religious hypocrisy. You need to leave that behind. It's all going to be judged. And come to Jesus, turn from your sin and be baptized. And wonderfully, 3,000 accepted the message, verse 41. Or you could translate it, gladly received the word. That's what conversion is. It's receiving the word of Jesus Christ, the word of the gospel, believing and being baptized. And this is the starting point. Coming to see that we have rebelled, recognizing that we are part of a crooked and sinful generation, turning from our sin, daring to be different, believing in Jesus and being baptized. We believe, we are baptized, and then we're taught about belonging. And I just want to pause here for a moment. Maybe you have not yet repented and believed. Then let me do as Peter did and plead with you. He didn't just give it to them and walk off, he pleaded. It is true. Don't ignore it. Don't chase after the world. Don't go down with the world around you. Please turn to Christ. He will accept you and you will be saved. So the community that came into being here in Acts 2 was a community that came into being through having the gospel preached to them and through believing the gospel in the power of the Spirit. And we're going to look at this community that was formed by the Spirit. And before we look at some details, it is worth noting a couple of things. Firstly, this community had a deep impact on the world around them. As they gathered and lived out their new life in Christ, verse 43, people were in awe. It's a really striking word and strong word. You see, Jesus' ministry, when he was on earth, inspired awe. And now this community, living for Christ, inspires awe amongst the Jews there in Jerusalem. They looked on in amazement at what God was doing, the way these people had been transformed. And many would be added to this community. And you see, in the ancient world, just as in our world, people are longing for community, for places of love, acceptance, righteousness, joy, care, eating together. And here we see it. And it had a huge impact. So as we reboot as a church, what can we see about this community? What sort of community has an impact on those around them like this community did? Well, the headline is there in chapter 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. And we're going to think about this verse and the verses that come after it. What was this community like? Well, firstly, and I'm going to pick up four things. Firstly, they were devoted to the apostles' teaching. This was the first mark of this community. They were committed and devoted to the teaching of the apostles. Now, this, of course, may seem strange and will have looked odd at first. Who were these people? These were devout Jews. They would have been raised with the Old Testament, with the law and the prophets. They will have learned to be devoted to the words of Moses. He had come out of Egypt. He had led the people out. He had given the people a law. Then they had the prophets, but they would have to hang on the words of the Old Testament of Moses and the other Old Testament writers. And now we see them listening and being devoted to the teaching of the apostles. Does that mean that the apostles were teaching them to ditch Moses and the Old Testament? Not at all. What the apostles were doing was showing them how Jesus fulfilled the Old Testament, how he was Lord and Messiah. And these believers wanted to learn Jesus. They wanted to listen to the truth of the apostles. They were a community that was hungry to learn. And wouldn't it have been wonderful to have been in on those teaching sessions? I don't know how they organized it. Did Peter do Monday and then John do Tuesday and James Thursday and work round as the apostles did all of that wonderful teaching, or did they split them into groups? We just don't know. But the apostles were available and taught others to teach. They were able to recall what they had seen and share it with them and explain its significance. And it's wonderful, of course, for us to have their teaching written down for us. And, of course, the teaching of the apostle who would arrive later on this scene, the special apostle for the Gentiles, the apostle Paul. Well, how will this devotion to the apostles' teaching translate for us as we reboot as a church? Well, the call is to be devoted to apostolic teaching. I know that many of you will remain devoted to apostolic teaching during lockdown. But it's good, isn't it, just to think again and to recommit. We need to go on learning and growing in our understanding as we go on as Christians, as we grow and develop as people. We're not to be static. We'll be to looking to know God better and to grow in understanding of his words. And if you are new to Christian things, I want to encourage you to drink in as much as you can. Grow and grow and grow. Be hungry as these early believers were. We need as well to be refreshed in apostolic truth. We need to hear the same teaching because we forget. We stop believing, we stop trusting, or things slip out of mind. And so it's great to be refreshed in apostolic truth week by week, day by day. And we also need, of course, to guard apostolic truth. We don't want more than apostolic truth. We don't want things added in. We don't want less than apostolic truth. We don't want things taken out. We are simply to be devoted to what the apostles have given us. That is the truth that God has given us through them. So this community was devoted to apostolic teaching. Secondly, they were devoted to the fellowship there in verse 42. Now, this is where I think we need to listen really carefully. I think there have been a couple of viruses doing the rounds. There is COVID-19 causing illness and death and mayhem. But there is another virus, the virus of selfishness. And I need to watch my own heart as we all need to watch our hearts. I know that lockdown has been a mixed experience. For some, it has been very hard and time of massive stress. If you are a household where there are two jobs and small kids, that is difficult. If for some, lockdown has been deeply isolating. But I guess for many, it's been a time to declutter and has been in many ways a helpful time to reflect on our priorities. But I also wonder whether the virus of selfishness may have been replicating in our hearts. I can get on fine, thank you, with life without the bother of having to interact with people. The only communication I needed was but a little bit of Zoom here and there. And it plays into something in our culture. We're very individualistic. I come to Christ, even in Christianity, I get saved, then I live out my life in my way. Well, just put that selfishness and that tendency towards being selfish and just looking after ourselves and put it up against these verses. What do we see here? a community that is deeply committed to each other, committed to the, devoted to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread. I'm not sure this refers to the Lord's Supper or not. I don't think you can prove it does. But they were clearly committed to meals, to gathering, to meeting in the temple, to eating in each other's homes. They had open hearts and open homes towards each other. There was togetherness. Why were they so united? Well, the 3,000 have been united in receiving salvation from Jesus Christ. They are delighted to have been saved. They'd had their sins forgiven. They'd received the Spirit. They had a shared experience, and that bonds them together. You know, families go through experiences that bond them together. In our street, there's been a bonding together. We've been through COVID together. And we will always remember our neighbours during this period and this during this COVID time. You see, here these believers are bonded together of this experience of having been received salvation, forgiveness and the Spirit from Christ. So they're bonded together. There's a togetherness. And there's a generosity. Luke, all through his gospel, has a huge amount to say about wealth and generosity. And we see here these early disciples living it out, some even selling their properties to meet the needs of others. Maybe as they came out of that Jewish community, they were being ostracized by family. And here were others prepared to sell up so these others could live and thrive. And they were happy to do so. Yes, this was a honeymoon period for the church. There'd be many challenges ahead. But we see that they were relationally engaged, caring, and this wonderful togetherness about them. And as we reboot, are you willing again, or maybe for the first time, to be part of togetherness with other believers? Are the people of God your community? Now, of course, these verses don't tell us everything about the life of these early believers. I presume that some of them had jobs and unbelieving family and had to get on with life. But Luke wants us to see the quality, the united together community. And I wonder what it is in your heart and your life that may hold you back from togetherness. Maybe you've been hurt by other Christians. Maybe you feel shy. Maybe it just feels too costly. Being involved with people can be costly. Maybe you are not spiritually well at the moment. Maybe you feel unworthy. Well, you need to be reminded, of course, that we've all sinned. What is holding you back? We'll ask the Lord to forgive you and to give you fresh energy to love and serve his people. And who are these people in the church and the other believers? You know, they are those who have been saved by Jesus, indwelt by the same Holy Spirit. We are the ones that have been gathered to Christ, into his community. So we are to be devoted to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted to fellowship, as we are to be. And thirdly, they were devoted to prayer. Of course they were. Everywhere in the Acts of the Apostles there is prayer. The community of Jesus is to be a place of prayer. One of the things that's going to come out is we're going to see that they do not need the temple for prayer. They could, in their fellowship, go straight to Jesus. Now, there's very little said here about what they prayed for. We know they were full of thanksgiving and joyful gratitude. All Luke is telling us here that prayer was simply at the heart of what they did together. They prayed together. Now, we don't have time, of course, to recap on Luke's teaching on prayer. That would be a worthwhile exercise. I just want to make a couple of applications for us in church life. Before I do that, by the way, I want to say it has been really heartening to hear the way that through lockdown, a number of families have been able to deepen their prayers together, to actually have family times of prayer on a Sunday and during the rest of the week. That is just fantastic, that our houses, our families will be places of prayer. And let's pray that that continues on beyond lockdown. But as we think about praying as together as a church, let me just invite you to do a couple of things. Firstly, and by the way, I'm not going to ask you to give more time to anything. It's just simply in the way that we think about what we do as a church. Firstly, is to take seriously our time of prayer during our main gatherings. How important is that time to you? Well, I'd like you to pray that as we lead prayer, we would do that well. But actually, it's a critical time in our meetings. When we look to be a people who are united, to bring our great petitions before God, and as one people say, Amen. It's a really, really important time. So as we slowly begin to gather again, and we say, let's pray, can you in your heart go, this is a really important moment. This is what the people of God are called to be, a house of prayer, communities of prayer. And will you add your heartfelt Amen as our prayers go to our great God? And secondly, building on that, to encourage you to be serious about prayer in growth groups, our other small groups. Those are vital times. It's part of the real function of church, is that we pray together. God loves to hear our prayers and he answers our prayers. Pray in the passage. Pray gospel advance. Pray for each other in struggles. Let's use those times of the big communal gatherings and those smaller gatherings for them to be wonderful times of prayer after the pattern here of Acts 2. So devoted to apostolic teaching, devoted to each other in fellowship, in love, devoted to prayer, communities having an impact. And by the way, for those of us who have been studying 1 Timothy, you could actually take those headings and you can see the way that Paul was concerned in 1 Timothy to defend those truths in the church in Ephesus. He wanted to get the doctrine straight. There were false teachers and he wanted them to be refuted so that they could go on believing true apostolic doctrine. Our teaching, says Paul, 1 Timothy 1:5, is to produce love. There was to be warm, sincere fellowship for each other, rather than the stuff that was going on in the church. And he wanted, 1 Timothy 2, the church to be a place of prayer. You see, it's almost as if Paul, in writing the letters, wants to get the church back to this proper, healthy pattern where they have an impact. There's so much teaching in the epistles as well about forgiveness and forbearance so that we can live together in a sweet fellowship and unity together. So devoted to apostolic teaching, devoted to the fellowship, devoted to prayer, and they were a community that knew God's spiritual power. The apostles were being used by God to do miracles. Not the rest of them, the apostles. The miracles testifying to the apostles' ministry and to the truth of what they were teaching. But they were a community that knew God's power. And that resulted in many coming to faith. Let's pray that we would know his power, that many would come to faith. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. Jesus, we thank you for all that we have in you, our risen, ascended Lord and Saviour. By the Spirit that you have poured out into us, would you please mould us into a community like this first community. We thank you for the many good things that there are within the Spicer Street community, but would you, by your Spirit, continue to mould us and transform us? May we glorify and honour you. And may you use us and the other Christian communities in this city and in this region to powerfully make Christ known. And may you go on adding to our number and growing the gospel across this country and around the world. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, as we close, Let's sing of the blessing of being united in Jesus. Oh, how good it is.